In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome back, friends. It's another episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast. Yeah, I switched up the intro a little bit. I'm Sarah Levine, as always.
I'm Danny Murphy, and our guest just put on chapstick, so made me put on chapstick, so that's besides the point. It's like the yawning effect. I saw you do that. I was like, that looks so relaxing and nice right now. But you know him more than just putting on chapstick. He is an incredible podcaster, and you probably already listened to all of his podcasts. It's Payne Lindsay.
Hey guys,
how's it going?
I'm doing pretty well. A little tired, but hanging in there.
I know. I feel like whenever on Instagram, you're always in different states. And where's your geographical location now?
I'm actually at home for once, and it's kind of awesome.
That's nice. Yeah.
So I'm feeling that. Yeah.
In Georgia?
In Georgia. Yeah, I live in Atlanta.
Love it.
You guys are in New York still? Well,
still kicking.
Yes. still having a ball.
Just because New York's crazy?
There's just levels. I feel everyone, and now it's getting into like the summer moment of it too, when just like every single person loses their mind for better or for worse, and it's just a full-on bacchanalian, we'll say. I think they're bringing back the to-go cocktails and stuff, so I think that will subdue some people, but who knows?
That's fun.
Oh, I need that right now.
Yeah, it's a moment,
Well, so you're in Atlanta, I mean, you're home, but also you are covering a very important trial, right?
I am covering the Tara Grinstead trial. The murder of Tara Grinstead, Ryan Duke is being charged with her murder. It's been 5 years in the making. Every possible delay you could imagine has happened to this case for whatever reason, because the government is bad at what they do. But yeah, I'm just anxious to see how it all shakes down and really what kind of evidence they have against him and what the defense is going to present that, you know, somehow proves he's innocent.
And because I like that you mentioned about all the delays, because I feel like that infuriates so many people for so many cases that there's just like, why isn't this starting? What are all these holdups? So I was curious, what was your feelings when you finally found out, okay, this is happening and there's dates and there's jury being selected and there's motions that this is finally going to occur?
I didn't believe it still. I was like, okay, we've heard this before. I mean, it must have been at least 4 or 5 times throughout the last 5 years. The trial's about to start. It's like, okay. Eventually I was like, okay, we'll see. I mean, I know COVID happened, but it happened 3 years after. Like, they could have had the trial within the first 3 years. But yeah, I think that they, to me, it's more of a testament of, I wonder how strong of a case they have against this guy, you know?
I was going to say, like, why do you think it took 5 years?
I mean, I would imagine, it's definitely a tough case. I don't know how much hard evidence they have against Ryan. And, you know, even if he did do it, you got to present a very strong case to convict him. And I bet, if anything, they're worried of dropping the ball here. And so the more time they had, the better, I would assume.
And I feel that's a good call in that respect, because obviously this case will be garnering a lot of media attention and there will be eyes on it because of the delay, because people just want answers specifically for this case and everything like that. And how does it feel to be like, when, like, this case was like one of your first forays into what you do now too? So kind of having it be a full circle moment. What are your emotions also even just going into this starting?
I mean, this is probably one of the only cases I've covered where it really feels like a chapter, like a true chapter of my life. I mean, they all feel like that in a way, but this case is totally different. Just the way that the podcast kind of grew at the time and the way the case was evolving in real time and how we were covering it, it really just feels like I was in this thing and still am. And so it's kind of surreal. It's not even, I almost can't even look at it like a like a criminal case anymore. It's just a thing that I feel like that I'm a part of in some way. And, you know, I feel for all the people involved, and I'm just as anxious to see what the verdict is. And yeah, it's just bizarre to me.
So jury selection started Monday, right?
It did. Yep. And I think it actually is going to end today is what they're saying. So that could have lasted a few weeks, but apparently they're saying that probably by Monday they'll have the opening statements. So moving right along, apparently.
Yeah, because I was reading that they did expect the jury selection to take 2 weeks. Yeah. But what can you tell us what's going on, like, in the courthouse?
So I have a producer friend who's been, she's been in there every day just taking notes and recording. Oh, nice. And so, I mean, the last 4 or 5 days has been the jury selection. And, you know, a lot of this is still kind of new to me. I mean, I'm familiar with it probably as much as you guys are, just seeing it on TV or whatever. But one of the challenges in this case was them picking a jury in this county that either hasn't heard of the podcast or hasn't heard of the case. And it sounds completely impossible. Apparently they found some people who lived under rocks or something, which is great. But I think it's kind of it's a tall task to expect that from the jury, but I'm assuming they have at least objective people, but it's hard to imagine that anyone in South Georgia is not familiar with the Tara Grinstead case.
Well, and I feel like that's what gets harder too, the longer trials get drawn out too, because that's an extra year of people being like, okay, it's been a year since this, or have you heard about this? Even from an anecdote, just conversational standpoint too, it gets to a point where like, okay, this is now a talking conversation around everybody. Where are you finding people? Yeah,
exactly. Even if you weren't a part of it when it was happening, I mean, you've had 5 years to hear about it from your friend or family member down there. So,
and I know, and I'm sort of, so because the jury selection went faster than we thought. How long do you have any, obviously just like in your mind, do you think this is going to be a long trial, or do you think it kind of, because it's, when I was even going into this, I was saying to Sarah, I was like, how will this trial last more than a day? I feel all the signs kind of point to the thing, but obviously I feel like you might have different insight into that.
I think it goes for at least 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I mean, 2 to 6 weeks. I think 6 weeks sounds insane, but I just think that there are so many details that they're going to just really just hammer down and just exhaust the jury with. And there's so many just different facets of the case that could mean one thing or another. And you know, I still don't know exactly what the defense argument is going to be, per se. And based on what that is, we'll probably determine how long this could really last.
Do you know, has the defense legal team, I'm not sure if you know this, has it maintained kind of the same throughout the years, or has it always just been like them kind of building this up, or have they switched ever?
I mean, from what I know, I think that the general story is the same, but I don't know how detailed they're going to get with a potential theory here, or if they're just going to try to, you know, disprove what the state is saying. But I think generally what they've been saying since the beginning is, you know, Ryan didn't do it. Yes, he helped burn Tara's body, but it was really Bo who did it. And I mean, that's probably the easiest excuse you could come up with. If it was true or not, I don't know. But it's definitely easy to look at Bo in that light. If you just compare the two, even if Ryan is a murderer, Bo looks worse optically. And so that's in their favor. But I wonder how much supporting evidence they have to, you know, really hammer that down. That I don't really know.
Well, I was thinking, could we like just go over some bullet points and just for our listeners who aren't up to date, and you can kind of chime in?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So for everybody who didn't listen to Up and Vanished, I mean, what are you doing?
What are you doing with your life?
What are they're like? Pretty we're much. Actively busy on a jury. We're in a jury trial.
That's
right now.
That's actually true. I know. I'm kind of sad. I feel like I can never be on a jury because they're like, you know, too much.
Oh, I don't want to ever be on a jury. So I'm.
It sounds like it really would suck.
Oh God,
it sounds boring. But I also think it could be interesting.
See, that's, and everyone always get says on a good that case. Until you get like the summons, and you're like, oh my God, like, is there ever a time for jury duty? Like, it's not really. It's like, hey, here's $25 for 12 hours. You're like
12 hours, 2 weeks, and you're just like, what am I doing?
Like, I'm hungry all day. I want to use the bathroom. Yeah. It's like, so you said, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing in the podcast or what am I doing currently?
Oh, I was just talking to our listeners.
Oh, oh, she was shading anybody who hasn't listened to your podcast.
I was saying, could, like, you, if imagine? You guys don't know, like, about this case.
If you haven't heard this, what are you doing with your life?
She's like, yes. Exactly. Hey, quick question. What the fuck are you doing with your life?
Like, yeah, oh my God. Like,
well, you know, we can unpack that if we...
I was going to say, solving crime, sort of, you know... A huge podcast, but no, what are you
maintaining
doing
the blonde hair? Yes, it's all going on.
Right. Yep. Which is maintenance.
That's very true.
That could be an offshoot podcast you do, because the blonde, that is a very intense situation upkeep.
It is. And I think the blonde looks cool. Like, I really do. But every time I go to get it done again, I'm like, God, I really don't want to spend like 2 hours in here. Like, I really don't. Absolutely. And I might just not do it. And then it's going to look weird for a phase. And I'm like,
But you just lean in. It.
And that's when you just get into hat culture. You're just like, no, guys, I've always loved hats.
No, exactly. That's when the hats come out, for sure.
Yeah.
Hat culture. All right. So some quick bullet points about the Tara Grinstead murder. If you guys are not up to date, obviously listen to Up and Vanish season one. I mean, truly iconic in the true crime podcast, but also very in-depth. Tara Grinstead was an 11th grade teacher at Irwin County High School in Ocilla, Georgia, and also a former Miss Georgia contestant. She went missing in October 2005, and she was reported missing when she didn't show up to work one Monday morning. At the time of her disappearance, she was getting her doctorate at night, and the weekend before she was reported missing, she helped coach some young women for a local pageant and also went to a barbecue. So after she was reported missing, I feel like I've said that so many times, but deputies did a wellness check, found no signs of struggle or forced entry at her home. Her car was in the driveway, her dog and cat were home, and her cell phone was plugged into the charger. Her car was unlocked and there was $100 in the center console, and the driver's seat was pushed all the way back, which was weird because she was only 5'3". And there were some other weird things in her home, like her bedside clock was found under the bed. There was a broken lamp. And, you know, basically there was not a lot of leads. She was declared dead in absentia in December 2010. And then Up and Vanish came along and started, you know.
That was because there was a lot from that time. There was sort of a lull where we feel like there's so many cases that happen where it's just like this awful tragedy occurs and people are like, we have no clue. And so many times too, there's a lot of it, like setbacks, or let it be political reasons or just funding or not, or something like that, or just too much going on where like the investigated, like the police and et cetera, can't give the time and effort to it. So that sort of, I feel like, was what was happening so much until Up and Vanish came out.
I mean, all the details you just mentioned, I mean, for 10 years, that's really all anyone knew. I mean, the police looked into her acquaintances, ex-boyfriends, tons and tons of people, but they were all the wrong guy. And they really couldn't think of anywhere else to look. And so it was just stuck. I mean, I honestly don't even really blame them. I mean, there wasn't really much to go off of. So when I came into the picture, that's why I was drawn to the case, because it was literally like she just vanished. Because all of her stuff was in there, her car's there. In this tiny town, like, where did you go? You know, how did this happen and no one see this? And who did it? I mean, that just puzzled the hell out of me.
Yeah, I think it's kind of crazy because some disappearances, you're just like, yeah, I mean, there's just not a whole lot. And then sometimes it's like, you know, somebody knows something and they just need to, like, speak up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this kind of started off as like, well, we got nothing. But it turns out that, like, you know, somebody just needed to feel comfortable to say what they knew.
And that's what happened here. I mean, it took 12 years. It took someone feeling the heat and coming forward to, in my opinion, save their own ass. And I mean, it doesn't matter the reason, but coming forward, because it was a finite amount of people who knew this and they were protecting themselves.
I know. And I know we touched about it a little bit when we interviewed you last time, but what, because I know, and just to reiterated with it, you said you were drawn to this case because there was no real jumping off points, or they kept on leading to dead ends. But what really kind of made you be like, I need to unpack this and I need to try to look for answers or bring attention to it?
I mean, I was just drawn to the case in general because of the circumstances. I just felt super bizarre, and you could just sit here and theorize endless possibilities of what could have happened to her. There were persons of interest that, you know, the media had already basically labeled, and, you know, the police had been looking into over the years. And, you know, there were some oddities about some of their stories, but if you really chased it all the way down, it never really went anywhere solid. And so you were just left kind of speculating as to, you know, is this weird? Is this just a weird thing? Or does this mean they did it? And it never quite added up. And so, you know, that's when I got involved in it. And I was just drawn to the sheer mystery of the whole thing. And I think that, you know, being from Georgia and having family in South Georgia, I had a random thought of calling my grandma about this, and she knew about the case. And I was like, already thought that was strange. And then she's like, actually, you know, my friend, I think she saw Tara the night before she went missing. I'll call you back. And I was like, okay. And then she calls her friend, and she calls me back, of course, like 5 minutes later. And she's tells me her friend Melba was there and saw her before she went to the barbecue. Next thing you know, I'm talking to Melba, and I'm like, what is happening? I'm like, that to me, if you're looking for signs to do this, you know, that felt like, okay, there's like a strange closeness I already have to this. It feels like I should just keep poking around and see what happens.
And I feel like it is almost in a weird way, like the power of conversation and almost these small, minute, anecdotal moments mm-hmm. that can build up, that some people even think like, that's just a blip in what? But then you're like, oh, this is giving point by point situations to build a broader story and everything around it. And I feel like that is kind of what helped snowball this into a larger thing to actually bring so much actual attention to it in a positive way.
Yeah, I mean, the only way that I knew or understood how to tell the story was a version that had me in it, because I mm-hmm. felt so out of place and like out of water, right? That I wanted to share that part of the story and almost frame it exactly what it was. And so all those kind of moments make it more real and made me feel like I was really a part of something too at the end of the day. And it kind of made for something that sounded maybe more special than just a regular true crime podcast. And I mean, you can look at that both ways. Like, why are you involving yourself? And, you know, I look at it like, I'm going to throw myself into this and I'm going to tell the story of that. And I'm going to give it all that I got. I'm not going to half-ass it. And you'll always get that from me.
I feel like there's been an increase in documentaries and just like true crime mm-hmm. journalism endeavors that have kind of centered the journalist, and that person has a personal connection mm-hmm. to the story, whether it's like Murder on Middle Beach or just did an episode on the Starved Rock. Did you watch any of those?
I watched both those and they were amazing. Yeah.
So good.
So good.
Same.
Yeah. I actually talked to Madison Hamburg, I think his name is, on yes. Twitter. I just reached out. I was like, man, that was so amazing. Like, and he messaged me back. And I was like, oh my God, like, I love this dude. But yeah, it's such a unique way to tell a story. And there's so much true crime stuff out there. I think it also makes it more personable. And you really care about their mission, right? You want to know, he wants to know what happened to his mom, and you care about that.
Yeah. And then I think it avoids that flip side where, you know, you have documentaries being mm-hmm. made where the victim's family is against it or mm-hmm. not consulted at all.
Yeah.
Never a position that you want to be in, you know?
No.
Yeah.
And then I also feel too, because then you have there is not comfortability, but a more openness for people to talk to people when it's kind of like, okay, this is why this means something to me, versus just like, all right, we're doing this because I don't know why. And like, then even also you get some additional details that you could have, because I mean, remember like the Middle Beach doc, like when he literally like was wiretapping himself to talk to his dad. Like, no one else could really have that moment besides him. And then in that too, you're just like, oh, like this, it felt like there was an added level of seriousness and purpose behind it. And I feel it's like the personal purpose that you do in your podcast and everything like that. It really helps move the story forward.
Yeah, I feel like as a listener, I would want to hear what it's like to be doing this in some way. And I think people are curious about that. And, you know, I am. I want to hear, I don't want to just hear exactly what you got. I want to hear every now and then, pull the curtain back and show me what it's like a little bit, or tell me how you're feeling about it. I think that's a way more interesting way to tell a story.
And then also it gives a kind of a, it, I feel like it also brings people into the story a little bit more versus like to the reality of like, not like, oh, this is more than just a news article you're reading. These are the people involved with, these are the feelings you can feel with it. To might be like, this is a horrific event that happened and all the follow up that goes along with it.
And I feel really kind of like insecure about that. I want to make sure that I'm validating my role here. The last thing I want to do is be Wikipedia Brown over here just rehashing a story, and like there's a time and place for that, like always, but if I'm going to deep dive into, you know, 12 episodes and, you know, really kind of run down persons of interest and knock on people's doors, I want to really do it for real, or what the hell is the point, or I'm being a fraud. That's how I feel about it.
And I feel like that's why you're good at what you do, because you realize the raise stakes in your storytelling and your producing and everything like that. So you go into it with a better picture and a better like mission statement for it.
I do have one piece of news for you guys. I actually don't know if you are aware of this, but actually I found this out officially yesterday, but turns out that I've been subpoenaed to be a witness in this case. And it's actually the state that subpoenaed me. There's still like a high chance that they don't call me. But okay. I was able to negotiate like a set amount of days that I would be available. No earthly idea what they would necessarily want from me, but who knows? But I found that to be also extremely surreal, because I just, you know, and maybe they don't even call me, but just even maybe they're just bluffing and using this as some sort of device to spook the defense, or maybe they're going to go grill me up there. I have no idea. We'll see.
That would be so meta, like you covering the trial that you're...
Yeah, I'm like, what is happening? Yeah,
you're like, no, I want to be on the other side, please. I want to be on the other side. Did you, when you found that out, like, did you, I guess you can't go in, but like, talk to like a legal person, be like, okay, what do I prepare for? Like, do you, are you like... anything like that?
So I actually found out unofficially on Thursday last week, like weirdest timing. I'm on a plane. It's about to take off to Vegas, of all places, to go to this convention called CrimeCon that we were doing basically a panel about the trial for, that we were making a live episode about and stuff. And like right before takeoff, one of the court TV producers, like film producers I know, texted me like a subpoena that had like my name on it and everything.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, fuck. And then I noticed that it had my wrong address on it, which also it was like an address from 5 years ago. I've been like three places since then. I'm like, how'd you guys even find this address?
You're like, don't you guys?
8 months. I'm like,
yeah,
wild. But I figured that's why I didn't get it. And so I immediately hit up my attorney and was like, hey, can we just start dealing with this, you know, because the subpoena was like, we need you to be here for the next 3 weeks every day. I'm like, absolutely not. I can't do that.
No.
So we were able to work it out. They were, you know, super reasonable about everything, but I was a little anxious for a little bit, just not knowing exactly how this would shake down. I just wanted to know what to be mentally prepared for.
No. That is very fair to feel anxious. And I also feel that probably is the peak flight where most people get emails, subpoenas, that like Vegas to or from.
I was like, okay. Yeah. I was like, I can't drink on the plane before Vegas. I was like, I'm absolutely drinking on the plane. Before.
Yeah, you got to start with a clean slate.
Yeah, drinking, doing a prayer circle, doing something. Yeah, that is like, really, oh gosh, yeah. And then, so that also just makes this entire moment, I feel like, I'm sure I probably feel like so different too, because you were going into it to see like, all right, they're going to have some answers. I'll be able to watch. And you're like, oh, I'm going to maybe be involved now in the literal way?
Yeah. I mean, this story has continued to surprise me and take strange, crazy turns. And so at this point, I'm just along for the ride. You know, I hope that we get justice for Tara, and I hope that they put the right guy behind bars. And I hope that we learn a lot more about what potentially happened to her in the trial, and it's not some super vague narrative that we never really kind of figure out, because I feel like that's a possibility, right? And that would suck for everybody.
Because I was going to say, like, one thing I haven't really seen in the articles is just any explanation of, like, why this happened.
Yeah, that's the toughest thing. And I wonder in how much detail the prosecution is going to dig into that, because their overall just general theory has major problems. And it's one of those things where, you know, weird shit happens, right? It does. And so maybe it's just one of those things where that something weird happened that doesn't quite make sense. But most of the time, it's not that. So, like, their theory is that Ryan basically woke up in the middle of the night and drove 17 minutes to Tara's house, broke in, and killed her. And
right. I read that they are alleging he just, like, climbed in through a window and was maybe gonna burglarize the home and then just killed her in her bed. And
it just seems, and I've done that drive at night because that's what kind of just curious. And honestly, I mean, for what it's worth, doing the drive, it's so intentional to go there, right? Because where you're starting is like out, like near these orchards and stuff. There's like, you're outside of the town, so you have to go into town, through the town, and then turn on one of these streets, then go down a little bit more, and then end up at Tara's house, either specifically or completely randomly. And I'm like, I need a better reason as to how they connected, right?
Right.
Maybe,
like,
that's
just
correct,
wakes up in the middle of the night.
It doesn't sit well, right? It's hard to rationalize that.
Because you pass so many, if you're just going into burglarize a home, you pass a lot of more easier attainable ones than to getting to that. Yeah,
I think what's more likely is that in some way, you know, Tara's at the barbecue, the last place she was really seen except for whoever killed her. Maybe she went somewhere else or saw someone else in the neighborhood, because there's no phone call records or text messages that connect her with her meeting with anyone after that. So it would have to be a chance encounter, which would make a lot of sense. Obviously, Ryan going there in the middle of the night's also a chance encounter too, but it just seems so insanely random. And maybe they knew each other and he just went over there. But I think it's more likely that somehow she connected with him or other people too, and then they went to her house or something after that.
Yeah, it's so strange.
It is. It's bothersome.
Yeah.
It really is. And then it's that hard thing too, where, because I you realize too, you're like, oh yeah, it's all up to how facts are presented, or not even facts, just like their opinions are presented and what evidence they have and everything like that. And I feel that's a stressful thing. I'm sure, obviously, for you, well, maybe now it's a different level of stress because you might be called to the trial. But for, like, you watching the defense say things that you're just like, oh, I know that is so not right, you're just making a story, but of course that is what trial back and forth is. It's something like that.
That's why I'm so curious. I don't really know, you know, what details they're going to dig into. You know, I have a general idea, but, you know, what do they have a complete narrative that really starts to make a lot of sense? And I feel like the state's going to keep it super safe and vague. They can't go into too much detail as to exactly why he did it or whatever. It's got to be as simple as he just went over there and did it, and, you know,
right? Because they don't really need to.
But it's just, if it is, then that's just fucking weird.
Has this case now kind of getting, like you said, it was a chapter of your life. Now this case being, like, almost hopefully brought you a close in a sense of some justice fully being served. Does it make you look at, has it sparked an interest in any other cases of you? I know you've been doing Up and Vanish more seasons than so many other podcasts, but has this kind of ignited any other cases that might have been on the peripheral for you or anything like that?
To me, it's more about, I mean, I've done three seasons of Up and Vanished, right? This is the only case that I've covered that's gone this far. And so to see it potentially have a verdict and a true ending, hopefully it's the right one, is really cool because it just, it's a chapter close. I mean, if they get the right guy and he's convicted, there's no more investigative podcasts about this. It's like, you know, it's over now, you know, mm-hmm. Not saying that I did anything. It's just, I can't even cover it anymore. You know, we all did it collectively. It's like, we saw this to the end. And that to me is really cool. This was it was kind of weird, you know, years later, diving back into the details of this, because I have covered tons of other cases since then. Like, not only two deep dive missing persons cases in Up and Vanished, the podcast, but also five other cases in the TV show that I did for Up and Vanished, Atlanta Monster, Dead and Gone, other shows that I'm just executive producer on. So I've had my mind at all these different places, and you have to kind of, you know, shift gears a lot. And so I remember I had to do an interview on Court TV about this case like a month ago. And I was like, oh my God, the last thing I want to do is be up there and be like, so what about this? And I'm like, oh shit, I forgot about that. Cause it's crazy, but it's like, there's so many little details.
Fair.
And so I painfully watched our episode of the TV show on Oxygen in the morning. And I was like, God, this hurts. But
that's a cringe.
But as soon as I saw everything, I was like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah. It's like, it's all in there, like as a memory. It's a
part of your life.
A part of my life. And, you know, I'm not just saying that. It's just how it feels to me. And
yeah.
So this is definitely super surreal, and I just would feel great to have a conclusion here. And I think that the family deserves that, and the town does too.
100%. And I feel you, for anybody who is listening, who maybe was not that familiar with this case somehow, if you're not on the jury already, make sure Up and Vanish season one, you do such an amazing job with it. And all your podcasts are just so well done. You can tell while listening, like, your heart, soul, and mind and everything is in it. So it's a joy to listen to. And it's always a joy to have you on too.
I know, it's always so fun. Next time we're just talking about Bachelor.
Oh my god, yes.
I actually have not watched the last two seasons, so.
Well, I was gonna say, we can talk about how the Bachelor dropped the shark.
Yeah, I was like, I've never seen a full season, but I feel like, do you follow any of the Bravo crimes? Because that would be like an iconic.
No, but send me one that you think is like the trashiest or something.
Maybe if I check it out,
I'll text one of y'all and be like, okay, I got some comments. Cause it could at least be fun.
I think Jen Shah. I would do it just for that,
to be honest.
Yes. Okay.
God bless. Yeah, Jen Shah might be the one. All right, so we're gonna send you Jen Shah, and also I'm gonna recommend Married at First Sight Australia if you need a new.
Okay, I've seen a few episodes of just that show before, which is absolutely an insane premise.
Oh, it's so good, and the powers and the accents for Australia really gets you going.
I was gonna say, what is it about Australia that makes it like superior?
They just seem way smarter because they sound less dumb.
yeah, and them just saying like, "Nar, I don't love you anymore."
That sounds weird. But yeah, last comment though, what is up with the Bachelor host looking identical to the Bachelor? I'm like, how so basic weird. Could they keep this? Like,
oh,
I thought they were going
they really are trying.
They're trying to, you know, be about inclusion and shit. They've missed the mark so bad on that. I'm like,
they're trying hard to not be diverse. Like, maybe I just live in a bubble, but
a bunch of racist people, and they're like, shit, there are a lot of our viewers, and it's like,
I feel like that's
backtrack,
it.
Backtrack.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, is that what's happening? I hope not, but.
The only thing I hope comes out of it is that we find out that one of the girls is like, wait, actually, I'm going to run off with the host, have an affair, and make it at least remotely interesting, and then they cancel the show.
Happens.
Right. But until then, I'm done with it all.
I agree.
Oh, my God, yeah.
We need to get some fraudsters on The Bachelor, and then I'll start watching.
I mean, oh, my God, right? And then we just get the Netflix documentary about the real story afterwards.
Oh, that's what we need.
Yes. There we go. There we go. Okay. If you're listening, if anyone is applying to the batch, just do us a solid.
Do it.
Start a Ponzi scheme and then go on.
Because the worst case you could do is just like do ads for a lot of MLMs anyway. So just make your own MLM and do ads for that.
Yeah, I never do the bachelor because it's like really, I mean, it would be just the biggest risk you could ever take in your life. And you were just an absolute just pawn in their TV show, right? But also, even if I wanted to, which I would never want to, they wouldn't even take people who were like me. It's like they want some version of some like some person that's not really real who like wants to be a social media star or something. And then a couple like shitty people, and like maybe they're like the people are good, but they're looking for like cutouts. And I'm like, why? You know, it would become more interesting if you had some like, you know, people with mental health problems on there and stuff, you know, like it'd be.
Where's that visibility
on there, right? Like,
let me see someone take Lexapro on Bachelor and then we'll be talking. No, because they want TV personalities without personality, which really.
Right.
It's kind of jumped the shark, I feel.
I feel that.
Yeah. Well, it's so rough.
But you do have the blonde hair, so maybe.
I was going to say.
Right.
You're getting closer to their aesthetic.
That would be the most emotional storyline you could have on it. You're just like, it's hard to upkeep my blonde hair. And they're like, that would be like your zoom in cry on face. And you're like, can I talk about anything else in my life? They're like, no.
I would be so anxious the whole time. I'd be like, oh my God. I'd probably be that guy who's like, he's here for the wrong reason. So I'm like, I'm really not. I'm just exhausted out here. It's just.
You're like, I actually don't know what reason I'm here for.
I just seem weird because it's just, it is weird.
And it's in the desert. Like, you're just sweating. It's just too much.
And the no phone thing, it's just a human experiment. It's bizarre.
Oh, no. I would just be drinking in a corner because I'm never that person who's going to like steal you for a sec.
Oh, no. Well, I'd be like, no, I'll wait for them to come talk to me and I'd be gone night one.
Yeah, then they're like, okay, you're off the show.
Make a move.
Yeah. If you were only on it for night one, would you put Bachelor alum in your bio still? Or?
Yeah.
100%. Oh, same.
Yeah, I would have like the picture and everything, and then I'm just gone immediately into the void of the internet, and I just basically like never existed.
And they're like, who's he?
Who is he? That's the mystery. It's the allure.
Oh my God. Well, actually, in another pop culture note, I wanted to ask, are you following the Johnny Depp defamation trial?
Not like day to day, but I've seen a couple of the pretty hilarious, you know, clips and stuff on Instagram, just random, like the when they asked about the big pint of wine or something that he was drinking, I was like, what is happening?
And it's definitely weird to see a trial being memed. Well, first of all, a domestic violence trial being memed in real time, like that.
I don't even know how to feel about it, you know.
Yeah, it feels weird.
It's like one of those things where, I mean, do you guys have an opinion? I don't even know enough to really say one way or another. But
I know. That's one of those ones where I'm just like, you just feel bad for everybody involved. But I'm like, this is just so much tortured and pain going on everywhere. And then you have a cosmetics company doing a TikTok about it. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, what?
Yeah.
Where are we going?
It sucks either way.
Exactly. Yeah.
I kind of think years from now or even months from now, this is going to be like a case study in like just like, I don't know, weird, like bad social media actors and just like responses that didn't age well.
Well, it's one of those hard ones where it's celebrity meets crime in a way that people don't know how to digest it in a way yet, I feel, because we haven't really had, like, there has been a lot of celebrities with crime going on, but like in real time with a very serious accusations, everything like that. I feel it's just everyone's brains are short circuiting on how to process it or absorb it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people are just rushing to kind of stand one person or another, and it's weird.
I think our culture is too, this might be a little too heady here, but is everyone just feels like they have to have a stance, and it's, and they need to have it immediately.
Yeah,
and that's so true.
I actually don't really think that you have to have a stance on everything. Now, if you're going to go out there on a limb and talk about it, then you should. But like, you could be like, I don't really know. I mean, because you don't know. I mean, if what they're saying about Johnny Depp is true, then that's not good. And, you know, this, he deserves whatever. But also, if it is untrue, it's like, it it's like still bad for like the Me Too movement, and it's, you know,
we don't know
what we don't know, and it's like, it's either way, it's gonna cause this divide where it's like this or that, and it's like, you don't have to have a strong stance on every single thing in the world anymore.
That is a good lesson for anybody listening. Just sometimes you just gotta shut the fuck up, and that's it's that a beautiful moment. Like,
I love shutting up.
Great.
I love not talk. Oh my god, yeah, about things I'm like, no, I'm not gonna say anything. I'll stand in a corner. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, thank you for that. I feel radical honesty that more people need to adopt.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, oh my god.
Pressure to feel that way. Like,
it's in like so comments true.
Or anything. Like, oh, I've just read this and I feel strongly about this way. I'm just gonna pick it. And you're like, you could say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or I don't care if it's the right thing.
Yeah.
Also that. Yeah.
That's facts. Well, thank you so much for coming on again.
Oh my god, yeah, thank you so much. And we're so excited to have you on later on to talk Housewives, which will be such a good twist.
Send me a link and I will check it out. Thanks for letting me ramble.
Oh my god. Anytime you ever want to ramble about anything, just call us, DM us, and we will get the Zoom going.
It's fun because I always talk about like serious stuff, and I like to talk about things that are less serious or be able to talk about like people stuff in the vein of what I do, because it's just more relatable to me.
Oh, I love that.
Is there anything that we should plug?
I mean, the Up and Vanished podcast will cover the trial. We did post a recap episode because, I mean, it's season one is a gauntlet. So if you need a refresher on kind of what happened and led us here, there's a really well put together recap episode. And then starting next week on Tuesday, we'll do trial coverage every Tuesday and Thursday.
Okay, perfect.
And, you know, no clue what's going to happen, but you'll be along for the ride if you choose to be.
Awesome. Well, I will definitely be following that. Awesome. So thank you so much. And also the recap episode sounds like very helpful.
The very easy way to just get caught up. You'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, I remember all these things. Yeah.
Yes.
And then
if you
just want to follow Payne's hair journey, you can always do that at Payne Lindsay on all of his social media.
That's true.
And
yep.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Really just for my hair. Yeah.
I mean, that's what life is about.
Yeah. Well, thank you, guys. I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. It's so good to talk to you.
Yeah. And good luck with your witness.
Yeah,
what do they call it? Testimony. Yeah, there we go.
If it goes down, you know, I'm sure I'll let you guys know. But yeah.
Yeah,
we'll be flying to Atlanta. Yes. We'll have the mics this time, in the courtroom.
Yeah, make a podcast with me.
Yes. Follow Payne, and you can follow us as well. But first, get tickets to our live show.
Yes.
June 5th at Union Hall. We're going to honestly continue to be annoying until this sells out. So, I mean, just, you know, help yourself.
help yourself save 15 seconds in your day by us not talking about it anymore. Well, now it's up to 20 seconds or so. Yeah, so you can go June 5th. The link is betches.co/NATC live, right, Sarah?
Nailed it.
Yes,
awesome. It's also in my bio on Instagram at Sarah Lameme. I should put it in our bio on also the podcast Instagram at Not Another True Crime. It's in our group, Not Another True Crime group. And, you know, we're talking about cases in there. It's fun. Some listener kind of came at us and then took it back, which was very funny. We loved it.
But healthy, and we loved it, and it was fun, and it was great. It's great to have that. Yeah.
We love some constructive debate. We'll always take it.
Always.
So join the group.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Not Another True Crime podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Lameme and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Lameme. Be sure to follow at NATC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to natc@betches.com. Betches.